everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us. President Trump has raised a record $24.8 million in fewer than 24 hours for his reelection. He did officially kick off his campaign in Florida Tuesday night, Orlando. 90-minute speech among a frenzy of fans. He told them a lot of things. He said he would never let them down, which he has said before. And yes, even CNN admits that Dems cannot match the excitement and enthusiasm. Trump also said that any vote for any Democrat in 2020 would be a vote for socialism. The president talked about tax cuts, the economy, job growth, and how he has appointed conservative judges across the nation, including Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And he promoted his tough stance on Russia, even though he was accused of colluding with them.
We went through the greatest witch hunt in political history. The only collusion was committed by the Democrats, the fake news media, and their operatives, and the people who funded the phony dossier, crooked Hillary Clinton, and the DNC. It was all an illegal attempt to overturn the results of the election, spy on our campaign, which is what they did, and subvert our democracy. Remember the insurance policy, just in case Hillary Clinton lost. Remember the insurance policy. They appointed 18 very angry Democrats to try to take down our incredible movement.
Coming up here on America Trends, we're going to talk to Jeff Cuere, the host of Ringside Politics, about, well, the fake news polls and the fake media and all that jazz coming up. This affects a lot of us. Faster shipping from Amazon. Apparently, the online shopping giant is adding 15 more Boeing 737 planes to its fleet, trying to better control deliveries and rely less on other carriers. Earlier this month, and this is interesting, FedEx said it was going to stop air shipments for Amazon in the U.S., reducing its ties with Amazon to focus on other e-commerce sites. Amazon says this, it's adding to its fleet, will speed up delivery time from 2 days to 1 day for most of its prime customers, and they want to have 70 planes by 2021. Some wild trending video now. A shark encounter off the coast of New Jersey this week. Listen.
Holy.
Just watch this.
That thing is huge.
Coming back.
Oh my God. Yes. Hold on.
Holy.
That's it. This party of sports fishermen had their own total Jaws movement, a rare brush with, this is a huge great white shark you're looking at. 16 feet, some 2,000 pounds, they think.
Oh my God! Dude, that was the coolest!
Shark came right up to the stern of the boat and snatched a bag of fish bait. Shark researchers are buzzing, say they've never seen anything like it. Let's just listen and join in on their little party for a moment.
Oh my God! Once in a lifetime, man. Once in a lifetime.
Pretty cool. We're going to talk to Dr. Frieda Birnbaum about the topic of at what price power women in the workplace. This is a topic of her book. Also, Jeff Cuere, as I mentioned, host of Ringside Politics. And a wonderful new guest for us here on America Trends, Alyssa Parker, who is an author, sports nutrition specialist, and fitness coach. She's going to help us get ready for summer. Stay tuned. Thanks for being with us.
Imagine if we had a Democrat president and a Democrat Congress in 2020. They would shut down your free speech, use the power of the law to punish their opponents, which they're trying to do now anyway. They'll always be trying to shield themselves. They would strip Americans of their constitutional rights while flooding the country with illegal immigrants in the hopes it will expand their political base and they'll get votes someplace down the future. That's what it's about.
There he is. Can we put it back? He just does his little walk around while everyone cheers. No other politician can do that. There he goes. He walks around. Will it still play? Do we have more video of it? He just walks around and waits for the crowd to cheer. No one else has that confidence. It's just so funny to watch his rallies. I think I heard that was his 60th rally. This is the first one of him. This is him kicking off his campaign for 2020, Orlando, Florida. Apparently, 20,000 people waited in line up to 48 hours beforehand, hours and hours to get in. About a 90-minute speech just firing up the base and unloading on the swamp and the mainstream media, etc. So it was pretty much all President Trump's greatest hits. We are with the host of Ringside Politics, our friend of the show, Jeff Kuwer, political commentator, 20 years on the air watching all this stuff. And you can find out more at jeffkuwer.com or ringsidepolitics.com. Jeff, so great to have you back. I know you have your most recent article in Town Hall is about fake polls are back again because we are hearing that both Biden and Bernie would apparently beat Trump if the election was held today. And that's, I mean, we always hear that. It's ridiculous. Would you take away from the rally last night anything particular?
Well, Amy, I thought it was amazing. I thought it was another incredible Donald Trump performance. I mean, we've seen it, as you pointed out, 60 of them. I've been to a number of them, and it's the same sort of a thing. He gets people fired up. He walks around the stage, you know, the fist bump. He gets the music, the people are going. I mean, there's nothing like it. I've been following politics all my life. Nothing like it. And what I find interesting, and the reason I wrote that column, is that, you know, you hear the fake news constantly saying, you know, he's behind, he's going to have trouble, Democrats have the edge. And you saw last night 20,000 people crammed in there, 150,000 people wanted to go. People were waiting for 40 hours. People were driving from Texas and all over the country. And the Democrats poll, Eric Swalwell had 18 at an event. Even creepy Uncle Joe Biden only has a few hundred. So it doesn't compare. And to me, that's a big indication that Donald Trump is really, really, I think, in good position to win re-election. The base, you got to have your base with you, and he's got a fired up base.
Townhall.com is where that column is of yours. A lot of people are saying that if he focuses on foreign policy and the economy and all the good he's done there, and we'll go over some of the numbers in a moment, he could really do well. But then again, they're looking at possibly those fake numbers, those fake polls, saying again that Bernie and Biden would beat him on is today. But no one trusts them at this point. You know, you hear what Trump did in the prior election is he actually did some math and figured out what the path to 270 was, how to get those electoral college votes in all the right states. And the Clintons just sort of ignored it. And so there's a lot more that goes into it than just what the polling says. And where do you think things are right now? And what kind of things, you wrote a whole article on this. What do you think of the most recent Quinnipiac polls and all that stuff?
Well, remember, Quinnipiac, I think, tends to boost the Democrat numbers at the expense of the Republican numbers. Their last poll in Florida, right before the governor's race in 2018, had the Democrat, Andrew Gillum, winning by 7 points. He lost, Amy. Ron DeSantis won. So their final poll was at least 8 points off. They show Donald Trump with a 42% approval rating right now, Quinnipiac. Yet Rasmussen, who's the most accurate pollster from the 2016 election, has the president at a 51% approval rating. So even if you average those two numbers, he's right about where he was in 2016. 46% is the vote he got in 2016. I think he can grow that. He's got the economy. He's got the foreign policy successes. And let's not forget, the Democrats are going to be beating themselves up over the next few months. And I think those numbers for Joe Biden are going to come down. Amy, I don't even think Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. I don't think he's going to make it through the primaries. They don't want creepy Uncle Joe Biden. I don't think he's going to be the candidate standing at the end. It might be Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris. I don't think Bernie or Joe Biden will get the nomination.
It is. It's so interesting to see just what will or could happen. You know, President Trump has the momentum of being an incumbent. Biden almost does, because of course he was VP with Obama not so long ago, and the name recognition. And since he started his campaign, he basically announced and didn't really go anywhere. And he's just sort of riding on that name recognition and still doing well in the polls. But I just wonder, when we look at President Trump, there are a lot of things they could complain about and say this, that, and the other. But again, if we do look at foreign policy and the economy, we have other NATO countries funding their militaries like they haven't for a long, long time because of his pressure. Mexico doing better at trying to harness the migrants coming to our border and trying to do their part, you know, the threat of tariffs. President Trump knows the art of the deal. I am so sick, and I think a lot of Americans are, of having presidents and our other leaders apologizing for us. And, you know, maybe that's part of what this whole rise is and the Make America Great Again movement is about. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, remember, Amy, it's going to be Keep America Great. That's going to be the new
CAG. K-A-G. He did a poll last night. The thing.
And again, who else does that? I mean, nobody else does
Jeff, it's so funny if people didn't see it. He said, wait, what do you like this? Make America Great Again or Keep America Great Again? So they're just going to, he's just ordering up two different huge rounds of applause. And it's just the ultimate showman. But he does, the thing is, he has the stuff to back it, too.
Yes, he's really got the accomplishments. And you pointed out several of them. I'll add a few more. These trade deals, no longer we're going to be played for fools. No longer are we going to be building up the Chinese military, giving them $500 billion. We're going to be putting American manufacturers and American workers first. As you pointed out, Mexico is now finally doing something. What other president has ever gotten Mexico?
Right. Hey, Jeff, we got a hard break, but let's talk more about it right after that. Back with Jeff Carrera right after this.
If you want to know how the system is rigged, just compare how they came after us for 3 years with everything they have versus the free pass they gave to Hillary and her aides after they set up an illegal server, destroyed evidence, deleted and acid washed 33,000 emails, exposed classified information, and turned the State Department into a pay-for-play cash machine. Emails deleted. Think of it. I keep mentioning, you know, there was a lot of corruption on the other side. But, you know, the simplest thing, they get a subpoena from the United States Congress, and they decide that they're not going to give it. So, Lindsey Graham, they delete and they acid wash, which is very expensive. Nobody does it. They acid wash those emails. Never to be seen again, but we may find them somewhere deep in the State Department. We may. But can you imagine if I got a subpoena? Think of this. If I got a subpoena for emails, if I deleted one email like a love note to Melania, it's the electric chair for Trump.
It's so good. Jeff Cruer is the host of Ringside Politics, going over Trump's big re-election rally, his 2020 kickoff campaign in Orlando, Florida, Tuesday night, and just 90 minutes of his greatest hits, right? Jeff, welcome back. But the Democrats are also, so now they can't let go of Mueller. They can't let go of the corruption, obstruction allegations. And now they're bothering Hope Hicks on Capitol Hill. Do you know anything about what happened with that today?
Well, from what I understand, there was a White House lawyer who was, preventing her from answering certain questions that they were, as you just pointed out, Amy, bothering her with. I don't know why any of the Trump administration officials, former officials, would even bother responding to this witch hunt. It's obviously political. All they're trying to do is tarnish the president some more and continue with this, as you say, try to drag this out through the 2020 election. So it's a charade, it's a kangaroo court. It's an embarrassment for the United States Congress. I saw a poll, Quinnipiac, everybody's talking about the Quinnipiac poll, the president's approval numbers in the low 40. Do you know that Congress's approval number was like 15%? So the American people don't really approve of what Congress is doing, Amy.
You know what it is? I don't know how we're ever gonna get past it, Jeff Cruer, Ringside Politics host, jeffcruer.com, but I've lived in many states, and you have this name recognition for decades of people that you trust to be able to pork barrel and to take care of your state once they get to D.C. And so they never vote them out state to state. And you have someone like Joe Biden, who's been there for decades and decades and hasn't gotten a lot done. But now that he's running against President Trump, maybe he complains about the state of the nation when he's the one that's been in the legislature again for decades. And so, we Americans have to wake up and figure this out. I just feel like all the time, and this is just on the macro level, but, I just feel like our founding fathers would roll over in their graves if they would see what we've come to, and the people that just make politicking their life's work and their life like a charity unto themselves. It's heartbreaking.
I think back in those days, they expected people to go up to serve mm-hmm. and then get back home,
yeah.
not to be a professional politician, which is what you just pointed out with Joe Biden. I mean, he's been feeding at the public trough, Amy, for almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the American people are going to want that in the next president of the United States. And I'm hoping that they're going to just say, OK, we need to give Donald Trump more time to get the job done. Obviously, he's faced every impediment they could possibly put in front of him, mm-hmm. and he's rolling along. He just needs more time to get it done.
And he really does so much. They can blast on his character, but I'm telling you, the people, maybe it's just the people that like him, but we look at him and what he says, and we get when he's joking, and when he's being hyperbolic, and when he's being silly. But we believe him when he says he's going to do. The guy needs no sleep. We're getting our money's worth. He's donating back his salary. He's giving us the lowest African-American, Hispanic-American, and Asian-American unemployment ever. Lowest women's unemployment in 65 years. Lowest youth unemployment in 50 years. Lowest veterans unemployment in two decades. 4 million Americans off food stamps. And Jeff, what I remember from administrations past, I remember them going and sending representatives into places like Appalachia and saying, hey, do you realize all the free benefits that you're able to apply for? Let's get you on the rolls.
You're so right. We have more jobs, less people on food stamp. As you pointed out, historically low unemployment, also historic numbers of people working, which is what we want to see in our country. And I saw a tweet from Joe Biden saying that President Trump benefited from all the good work that the Obama-Biden administration did, and he's in the process of squandering the good economy that he inherited.
That's so funny, it makes me laugh.
that is really a joke. So he's going to be trying this out, I guess, and that's going to be his position, that all of these good economic reports are just due to what Obama and Biden did during their 8 years. Remember, during their 8 years, they never had 1 year of post 3% growth. You had food stamps going through the roof. You had much higher unemployment. You just had a lackluster economy, the worst recovery we've seen since the 1940s. So the news is really on President Trump's side. I really think he's going to have a lot of momentum going into next year. The Democrats are going to beat themselves up. But of course, Amy, the media is going to try their very best to elect whoever the Democrat nominee is. I think that's one of the best things President Trump has done, expose the fake news media for who they truly are.
Such lobbyists they are. It's really sad because I used to be my, now I'm a talk show host. I can say whatever I want, but I used to be in the profession. And it goes against everything we're taught. So, Jeff, okay, all on that, very good topics. We got about a minute and a half left. I want to open it up to you. Do you want to talk about the border crisis, more about the Democratic race, Iran stuff, and then with the migrants, you have Mexico helping out a little more for now. What floats your boat or whatever else, Jeff?
Well, I think the border crisis is really something that I want to focus on a little bit,
sure.
Amy, because I really think it is the number one problem we face today.
Yep.
These numbers are really out of control. I do feel like the president has accomplished a tremendous amount by getting Mexico to do something, but we really need to get this wall done, and we really need to see the Border Patrol beefed up, because this has got to stop. I think the Democrats' plan, as the president pointed out, is to try to get as many people in here as possible and boost their numbers.
Absolutely.
And to do to Texas and other states what they did to California. And that, to me, is what I'm really concerned about with this upcoming election. Voter fraud. I'm concerned about the Democrats targeting states like Texas. And I really do think we've got to control this border to really keep our country. And I'm glad we've got a president that is focusing on that issue.
No doubt about it. And then you have uneducated people like AOC, a freshman congresswoman from New York, talking about us running concentration camps. And it's just like, you know, whatever, back in the day and never forget. These are people who tried to sneak into our country, not people who are ripped from their homes. Jeff, where can we find your broadcasts?
Thank you so much, Amy. It's all available at jeffcroere.com and at C-R-O-U-E-R-E.com. They can get all the information about TV, radio, and books and my YouTube channel. And
we'll look for it. Out of time, Jeff. Thank you so much. So sorry. Out of time. New little song in the rotation, trending at number two right now from Taylor Swift, called You Need to Calm Down. Probably applies to all the political talking heads on TV that we've been chatting about. So glad you're with America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. This is the U2 America TV network, and you might be with Biz Talk Radio, Roku, YTAClub.com, any of our wonderful affiliates. In any case, we thank you for being here. We are checking in right now with our friend Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. She is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author. We've talked to her about a few things. Father's Day, Mother's Day. She is someone who says your best days are never, ever, ever behind you. In fact, you can live your best life at whatever age. She had twins in her 60s. Holy cow. And she has a book that we want to talk about. We just thought we'd invite her on. DrFrieda.com is where you can find out more. What Price Power, an in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. And I just thought it'd be neat. Dr. Frieda, welcome back to have you on.
Thank you, Amy, so much.
Sure. To talk about your book, what went into it, because, you know, giving birth to a book is a huge thing. And this is a topic you chose, and it looks like it has a lot of great insight. So let's chat.
Yes, absolutely. You know, women are always looking to see what to do. Should they stay home? Should they go ahead and have a career? Should they take care of the children? What comes first? It's a very difficult situation. But my research has found that the happiest women are those that do it all at one time. Now, we never hear that, but they have careers, they have family, and they have a relationship. So the inventory that I took, scientifically oriented towards communications, sexual satisfaction, and personality, showed that women who have high status careers actually had better communications with their husbands. Their husband actually listened to them. They helped them with decision making. They had financial decisions that were equal, social decisions, and as well as sexual satisfaction, which means that when you're more assertive out there in the workforce, you bring that assertion home with you. And as far as their personal survey about themselves, women who had high status careers were more masculine oriented than women who are domesticated. So that was part of my questionnaire that I sent out to 700 women that was statistically sound. And some of my findings were extremely interesting. One thing was that women that had mothers that were happy in the home were also domesticated, and vice versa. But those who had mothers were in conflict, such as myself, ended up getting married and then changing into careers. And in the midst of that was a lot of divorce. But if that could endure, then the marriage was better than ever. So when we're talking about divorce, men after divorce seek relationships, and women tend to seek to fulfill themselves after a divorce. But women who have high status careers and make more money than men are disinclined to marry, and they have relationships instead. But the ones that do stay married and have high status careers and make more money, hate to say this, they have less friends, and both men and women are intimidated by them because they feel insecure that women have more power. But you know, what happens also at work is that when these women who have more power also have the ability to be more nurturing, they have time for both. But they are called more selfish, while men are called family men when they both have children and careers. So it's just a gamut of differences between the way men and women are handled. I mean, women are called aggressive, men are called assertive. Mm-hmm. And when we're looking at the workforce, especially what happens with that, and one thing I do want you to know, the children are just as happy either way when a mother is working outside the home or not, but they are more confident when a mother is working outside the home, because boys tend to marry women like that as well as role models. Women and young girls have that as role models as well. So it does give them a sense of security to have this type of environment in their home. So the findings are profound as far as women working outside the home also have domestic help. But women who are not working as career women and have high status careers tend not to. They feel more guilty when they're outside of the home. But women with nannies, women who have careers, do not feel guilty at all. And these women continue to work outside the home while the children are at all various different kinds of ages. So when we're looking at what happens and how things have changed, women today have partners in their life more than ever. And these men are helping domestically around the house. And these women are also freer to pursue careers as well. And the federal government is helping couples with childcare at work and having them have more absent days from work where they can work at home as well. So that has changed, and more women are being more educated. So things are changing in the workforce, but there's still a lot of things that haven't changed. And one of the things is that women are still making 20% less than men. In 40 years, they predict it'll be more equal. But 35.9% of mothers are interviewed, while fathers are interviewed, and they don't have that problem. And there's also a new trend going on, that 4 out of 10 children are born out of wedlock. And there's no more the stigma that used to be, where young girls would go away somewhere, come back with a baby, and then all of a sudden it was their mother's child.
Let's say that again, Doctor. 4 out of 10 are born out of wedlock. So it's a little more.
4 out of 10, it's amazing. Yeah. 30% mm-hmm. of the population yeah. have parents that are single. And of those parents, 80% are women that are the sole caretakers of these children. So this has really been something that's on the rise, but it's being much more accepted by society. But you know, women who stay home with children, preschool age children, and have less than a high school degree are most depressed, while women who are career women, they're whimsical about not being home and missing their children, but they're not depressed. So you know, we're talking about the Me Too movement, the women's revolution here. Things have changed, but not that drastically. We still have sexual harassment. We still have this gender discrimination and less pay as well. So we've come a ways, but we haven't come completely all the way.
Boy, there's so much under a minute, but there's so much to unpack from a hackneyed phrase, and I'm just a little overused at this point, but really to unpack and what you said, because I've seen your notes and seen part of your book, and there are so many subtopics as to some of the things
yes.
you said, talking about, you know, the guilt. And a lot of it has to do with not having feeling attacks and guilt attacks and things like that. And also the things that you talk about, if we watch our mothers and see what they did, and if they seem happy, we're apt to mirror that. It's so interesting. The book is called What Price Power? Where can we find this, Doctor? 10 seconds for you to sign off, dear.
Well, you can find me all over the stations around the country that I do talk about these things on my website, drfrieda.com.
Okay, Doctor, and we will find you there. I'm so sorry. Heartbreak, but we'll see you next time. Thanks so much. Hey, like it or not, time to get ready for summer. I mean, do we get ready or do we just let it go already? We are so glad to have a friend, Alyssa Parker, here with us. She is an author, sports nutrition specialist, and fitness coach. All those things that we would love to do if we only had the ambition and the stamina. Alyssa, welcome to America Trends.
Thank
so
you.
Nice to see you. So you have dedicated your life to trying to help us all get healthy and live better. This is your latest. Well, hello, everybody. Look at that. She's ready for summer. Fit starts in the kitchen. And that is such a good title for this. You know what I've heard? So working out and what you eat. Mm-hmm. I heard that like eating is 70%, working out is 30%. Is that anywhere near right?
That's pretty close,
right?
Actually.
Okay. So this is really true.
Yeah. I mean, I put this book together because I was constantly getting asked, what do you eat? What do you do? So I started writing it down. And this is everything I do. I mean, this is all of it right here. So I got started because I grew up in the gym. My mom was an aerobics instructor and I had my first daughter.
What did she teach? My mom taught her to lean powers back in the day.
She taught like full on aerobics, like Jane Fonda,
right.
with the
that
leg
was,
warmers
that was it. Yeah.
and the, you know, the leotard with the whole thing. I did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, you know, in the 80s with my mom working out. And so I was comfortable in the gym. I was used to it. Nutrition wasn't a huge thing. I mean, it was like eat bread. We ate carbs back then.
Oh yeah, back then we didn't hear. We talked about calories.
Yeah, no fat.
Everything
light, low fat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's complete opposite now
yeah.
of what we're doing.
It's just so funny to
but
think
so
back
to that.
But
so I had to learn all of that. So I had my first daughter and I gained well over what I was supposed to gain in a pregnancy. So I ended up having this baby and I had a lot of weight to lose. So
I think you're not alone. A lot
right.
of people just, well, for one thing, it's weird to age because all of a sudden it
yeah.
doesn't come off as easily.
Yeah.
And then pregnancy and then the backwards things we're taught about
yeah.
nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So you decided to I'm going to take this, I'm going to solve this problem and help other people.
Yeah. Yeah. So my husband brought home a fitness magazine and I said, I'm going to do that. And I got into competing and bodybuilding and I learned so much through that whole process. So that's where I came up with all of this. And really, it's a cookbook, and there's healthy versions of all of my favorite recipes, so you don't have to feel restricted, because I think that's a huge issue. I mean, if we're motivated, we start a diet, and we're like, I'm going to hit the ground running, I'm going to do this, and then by Friday, you're like, forget it, I'm going out for drinks.
Head games, you know,
right?
we should think about what we can have instead of what we can't.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of the interview, but I want to make sure that people on Biz Talk Radio and here can see your, where can we find your website?
So fitstartsinthekitchen.com, mm-hmm. alyssaparker.net, mm-hmm. or FlexRx Fitness, which is my coaching business mm-hmm. that I run with my business partner, Ursula Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with clients every day, helping them figure out their workout, wherever they need to start. So we have clients that are fitness competitors doing bodybuilding shows, and we have clients that are just trying to transform, lose weight, get healthier.
A lot of dieting trends and myths. What would people be so surprised to learn about that we haven't sort of been, you know, we've talked about the strange things we learned in the 70s
right.
and the 80s, and now
yeah.
we learn things about keto and paleo. What would we be surprised to learn now that might be still a little backwards?
So, you know, we're inundated with so much information. It's so hard to weed through all of mm-hmm. it right now. I know a lot of people that they say keto is so bad for you. You know, you're eating, they think it's super high protein. It's not. There's so many myths because people just don't even understand.
They don't understand keto is not just low carb, but it's about adding the fat. So when they say, oh, it's dangerous, you're probably not even doing it right anyway.
Right. I mean, there's so much behind it.
Yeah.
But I think in general, I think you can achieve weight loss or a weight loss goal or fitness goal several different ways. I mean, there's hundreds of ways to go about it. Each different thing is a tool in your arsenal, and you have to find the thing that's right for you. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, if low carb works for you, then great, make that work for you. My book really is more about flexibility. So it's about whatever is important to you. If you want to be a vegetarian, vegan, paleo, gluten-free, whatever you want, you got to learn the tools how to implement it though. So we learn by tracking and making smart choices in whatever direction you want to go.
Is it, when I talk to you, it sounds like it's a little bit two-pronged, which makes sense. Two things. How does your body react? Are you actually losing the weight? Is it helping, you know, people have maladies. Is it helping your this, that, or the other? And then two, are you mentally able to do it?
Yes.
So the physical reaction and the mental capability, are those two big
factors? Totally. Yeah. I mean, you have to enjoy what you're doing and have mm-hmm. it be easy, because there's no reason why make it hard, you mm-hmm. know? Work smart, not hard.
Yeah.
So we make it as easy as possible, because willpower only gets you so far, right? So we need to find something that's easy for you that you believe in. And if being a vegan or vegetarian is something that wholeheartedly you're like, I have to do that, then by all means, go ahead and do that. So we can make anything work. It's about awareness. You know, learning just general nutrition, which a lot of people don't know. They don't mm-hmm. know like protein, carbs, fats, macros. They don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So like when you go to a restaurant, you maybe think you're eating healthy, but really just understanding what you're putting into your mouth and learning a little bit about food goes a long way.
And there's a little small sample of something like people think getting on keto, they're shocked to learn vegetables are not a part of, not all vegetables are part of this diet. We've learned for decades vegetables are so great, but in this diet it can mess you up if you're trying to count your macros and all that
so the stuff. Best way on keto specifically, if you're going to go that route, you have to track your carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And vegetables are high in fiber gets taken out of that mix, so you get a little more leeway if you have vegetables.
Oh,
I mean, you
okay.
can basically make anything work as long as you track it.
Okay.
So you have to keep your net carbs, which is carbs minus fiber, uh-huh. under like 25, 30 grams.
Is it minus sugar too?
Sugar counts, because sugar raises your blood sugar.
Is it alcohol sugar that you?
So alcohol, you can have some alcohol, but you got to track it. I teach people actually how to track alcohol in the book. Because alcohol is 7 calories per gram. Fat is 9 calories per gram. So it's pretty high on this. So people may think, oh, like vodka, it's free, you know, because there's no sugar.
Yeah.
But there's still calories. And those calories count for something. So we have to figure out how to make it work because people say, oh, no, calories count, calories don't count. It's all about the food choices. But calories still ultimately kind of in a hierarchy of what's important on losing weight. Calories still do matter. Certain foods, though, like protein and medium-chain triglycerides, like MCT oil, coconut oil, that kind of thing, they have a higher, it's called TEF, thermic effective food. So you'll burn a little bit more calories digesting those. So by raising those in your macronutrients, you might have a little bit of a caloric deficit without changing your calories.
So I can follow some of that.
Yeah.
But you really need that, because this is stuff we do need to know.
Yeah.
But people are trying so hard to lose weight, and you might just be spinning your wheels. So you might need a book like this to really help.
Yeah. And there's 100 healthy recipes in there that are all healthy versions of like pizza and all those like junk food kind of items. So you can have a healthier way to eat it and not feel deprived.
AlyssaParker.net, Alyssa spelled with an I. We can't thank you enough. Will you come back soon?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thanks so much.
Howdy.
Pause.
Thank you for being with us here on America Trends. You are with the U2 America TV Network, where you can find us 24/7 on our website there. And then switch right over. You can click on through to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So it'll be fun if we could all connect, because that's what it's there for, right? And also, we're on Biz Talk Radio. You can see our past podcasts or listen to our past podcasts there. But in any case, we'd love for you to join in. So we'll see you online, okay? Finally tonight, a little offering at the movie theater. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw, coming to theaters August 2nd. And we have your first look and listen as we head on out and say goodbye for now.
Pick a door.
All right, then.
No, that's my door. Pick another door.
What's wrong with you? You know what? You were right. This is your door.
What's the matter? You got a lot of bad guys behind that door?
Access granted. Access denied. Access denied. Access denied.
Luke Hobbs and Deckard Shaw, we've got unfinished business. Shaw's sister took something from me. A virus that could wipe out half the population, and I want it back.
You wanna tell me just what we're dealing with here?
It's my sister, family business.
When it's the fate of the world, it becomes my business.
This whole thing sounds really dodgy.
Look after your sister.
Listen, I'll handle it.
The only way we survive is working together like a team.
Let's do this.
Buckle up, fat boy.
On my three. One.
Woo! Hey, you see the look on his face? You have no idea how long I've been waiting to do that.
Yeah, because it's water time!
The music's already started. Let's see if we can get in sync.
So you guys are being hunted by an army of mercenaries led by a genetically enhanced soldier.
Look at me. I'm Black Superman.
You're crazy.
Damn.
He really is Black Superman.
You need to get off the grid.
Where?
Home.
My baby's come home.
I'm sorry to bring trouble here, Mama, but I need my brothers. This family is going to war. We're gonna need cars and guns.
Mama, where's all our guns?
I get rid of them.
Very noble, Mrs. Hobbs. We are in serious trouble.
That's an understatement.
Let's get old school. Zoe!
Well, all right.
We're going for a ride!
Woo! Tell me this is not happening.